When you read the Bible, how do you respond? Here's Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
Do you know that every time you hear the Word of God, whether it's in your quiet time, it's on Revive Our Hearts or another Christian radio program, it's your pastor preaching, every time you hear the Word of God, you have got to do something about what you've heard. And every time you don't do something about what you've heard, you know what you're doing? You're wearing a path across your heart where seed will not penetrate as easily the next time. You're getting a hardened heart.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, co-author of Seeking Him, for October 2nd, 2025. I'm Dana Gresh. Today, we're talking about soil and your heart, and we're asking this question together. Am I responsive to God's Word? Nancy recorded this episode as part of a larger series on the workbook Seeking Him, and you'll find links to all 12 weeks of that series in the transcript of today's episode.
You who seek God, let your hearts revive. That's become one of my very favorite verses. It's found in Psalm 69, verse 32b. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. Let me ask you to turn in the New Testament to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. As you're turning there, let me say that the condition of your heart at any given point is revealed by how you respond to the Word of God. That's what we're going to see in this parable in Luke chapter 8. At any given point, the condition of your heart is revealed by the way that you respond to the Word of God. Let's begin in verse 4. When a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, Jesus said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As Jesus said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, don't just listen with your physical ears. Make sure you're listening with the ears of your heart. Now, after Jesus finished telling this parable, his disciples came to him and they said, "What does this parable mean? What were you trying to teach us through this?" And Jesus explains, beginning in verse 11. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. In each of these four instances, the seed was the same and the sower was the same. The seed is the Word of God. Now, let me back up a moment to say, before I get into this passage, that the primary interpretation of this passage, I believe, is referring to three different groups of people who do not possess salvation, compared to the fourth group, those who do. But by way of application, I think these four soils can also represent four different responses that believers sometimes have to the Word of God. The way we respond to the Word of God is determined by the condition of our heart. And the soil in this passage is a picture of our hearts. The seed was the same. The sower was the same. What was different in each case was the soil. That's what made the difference in the outcome. What makes the difference in the outcome in your life is the condition of the soil of your heart. And you can be any one of these four kinds of soil, any one of these four different heart conditions, at any given time, and it's amazing how fast we can move from one to the other. You may be one day a heart that's good soil, but within 24 hours, did you know your heart can become hard soil? We're going to see how that can happen. But let's look at these four different heart conditions, these four different kinds of soil. Verse 12, the ones along the path are those who have heard. What have they heard? The Word of God, the seed that's been sown. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. This is the hard path. This is the hard soil. The seed just falls onto it, but a path has been worn because people have walked across this path over and over again, and the seed doesn't penetrate the soil. just stays on the surface. So the birds come, or as Jesus explained, Satan comes and takes away that seed, and it never produces fruit. Now, what does it mean to have that kind of heart? It's a heart that is hearing the Word of God, but the Word isn't penetrating because we're not doing anything about what we've heard. Do you know that every time you hear the Word of God, whether it's in your quiet time, it's on Revive Our Hearts or another Christian radio program, it's your pastor preaching, every time you hear the Word of God, you have got to do something about what you've heard. And every time you don't do something about what you've heard, you know what you're doing? You're wearing a path across your heart where seed will not penetrate as easily the next time. You're getting a hardened heart. That's why James says you've got to be not just hearers of the word, but also doers. That's why the writer to Hebrews says in chapter 3, exhort one another daily, lest any of your hearts become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Do you know what that says? It takes less than 24 hours for your heart to go from soft, good soil to hard soil. And how does it happen? If you hear something from God's word, but you don't do anything about it. That's one of the greatest dangers, by the way, of growing up the way I have, which is exposed from birth to the word of God. Now, that's a huge blessing, and I thank the Lord for it. But what's the danger? That I know so much more sometimes than what I'm actually living. Or I feel when I hear it again, I've heard that before. I know that. And sometimes I find myself reading the scripture with these glazed over eyes. I've been there. I've done that. I know that. And it doesn't penetrate my heart. That's dangerous. That's why we need to meditate on this scripture. Make sure that every time we're being exposed to it, we're responding in worship, in prayer, in praise, in obedience. Whatever the scripture calls for, do it before you move on to the next passage. Now, verse 13 tells us the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. They love the things they hear on Revive Our Hearts. They love the truth when they hear it. They grasp onto some new truth. This is great. But they have no root. So what happens? For a while they believe, but in time of testing, they fall away. You see, all these truths that God has been using to send revival to your heart over these past weeks, it's not enough to just receive those truths enthusiastically. You need to put down roots into your heart in every one of those truths. It's not enough to obtain a clear conscience. You need to maintain a clear conscience. Put down a root system in your life so you don't ever go to bed at night with an unresolved conflict between you and another person. You need to develop a root system in the area of your devotional life, in the area of responding to God in humility and in repentance, in the area of forgiving others, to where it becomes the pattern of your life to respond to God in biblical ways. Otherwise, when times of testing come, you'll be the first to fall away from these truths that God was using to set you free. And then verse 14 tells us, as for what fell among the thorns, these are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Boy, if that verse doesn't describe what it's like to try and live the Christian life in the 21st century, I don't know what does. We hear the word of God. We have so much of it. I mean, you get in your car, you turn on your Christian radio station, and go to small groups and have studies and in your church and out of your church. We have so many opportunities to hear the word of God. But what happens? Cares, riches, and pleasures of this life choke out the word of God, and we don't bear fruit. We have so many technological advances, but sometimes I don't know if those are a blessing or a curse. I'm thankful for them in a lot of ways. I use a lot of them, but it's also some of those things that can be the greatest distraction to me from seeking the Lord with all my heart. Things that keep me from really listening to and responding to God. Cares, riches, pleasures of life. It's talking about busyness. about all the stuff we accumulate that we don't need, about all the distractions. Listen, some of your families are too busy. You've got too much going on, and you're sighing and huffing and puffing, and you don't have time to really cultivate an intimate love relationship with Christ, not to speak of intimacy in your own family, because you're running your kids to ball games, to soccer practice, to play practice, to swimming practice, to Little League, to the choir, to the everything, and thinking your kids got to be involved in everything. And as a result, your kids have all those experiences, but they're missing God. Now, I'm not telling you how much is too much, but if you are too busy to seek the Lord and respond to Him, then you are too busy. And you need to get rid of some of the clutter, some of the distractions, some of the things, whatever they are, that keep you from really bearing fruit spiritually. Things that are choking out the Word of God in your heart. And by the way, it can be TV, it can be entertainment, it can be movies, just so many things that we use to fill up our time, to fill up our days. Ask God to help you evaluate as we come to the end of this series. What is the stuff in my life that needs to be cleared out so I can focus on really pursuing my relationship with God and living a life that is fruitful and pleasing to God? Well, verse 15 tells us that some of that seed fell on good soil. And Jesus said, these are those who, having heard the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. The earlier part of this passage, when Jesus was telling this parable, he said it yielded 100-fold. That's a huge, abundant harvest, and that's what God wants from your life. He wants your life to bear fruit. He's glorified when your life brings forth much fruit. And how does that happen? When you're not just a hearer of the word, but a doer. Guard your heart. Make sure that your heart is tender and sensitive and responsive to the Lord. You say it is now. Make sure it is a week from now. That's why you need to be around other believers who help you gauge that. And then persevere. These are people who will hold fast and honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience, with perseverance. Remember, the fruit God wants to produce in your life will not happen overnight. We're in this for the long haul, till we see Christ pursuing, pressing on, persevering, patiently enduring till God produces that fruit in our lives. Now, today I want to give a few other specific suggestions as you think about moving on in this matter of revival. And the first is this. Remember that whatever it takes to get revival is what it takes to keep revival. Let me say that again. Whatever it takes to get revival is what it takes to keep it. Think about the basic truths that God has been using to set you free over these past 12 weeks. Humility, honesty, repentance, holiness, obedience, clear conscience, forgiveness, walking in the Spirit. These are the same truths that will enable you to experience continuous, ongoing revival every day for the rest of your life. If you'll continue to live in those truths, continue to respond to those truths, you will continue to experience fresh revival from now till you see Jesus. That's why it's important for you to keep going back to those same foundational principles over and over and over again. By the way, that's why this series has been so good for me, is I've had to prepare. I've taught these principles before. I've heard them many times. But as I have prepared for these fresh studies in seeking Him, God has done a fresh work in my own heart, not by so much teaching me things I didn't know before, but just reminding me of the things I already knew and freshening up my responsiveness and my obedience in these same areas. You need to review these principles again and again and again and again till they become engrafted into your heart, your mind, your life. Remember the grace ambulance, for example. God sends His grace racing to the scene of our need when we humble ourselves and cry out to Him. That's something you need every moment of every day for the rest of your life. Learning to cry out to God. Say, Lord, I need You. I can't do this without You. And God will send His grace, His supernatural desire and power to help you, to meet your need, The problem is we forget about humbling ourselves, and then we lose the grace of God in our lives. So we start thinking, I can handle this. Now, we wouldn't say it that way. We wouldn't say, I don't need God, but we forget to humble ourselves. We forget to cry out to God. So you get in a new situation with your mate or one of your children, and you forget to cry out to God. Go back to grace. Go back to humility. You blow it, go back to repentance. You start walking in the flesh, go back to walking in the Spirit. The same principles that God used to revive your heart are the same principles that will keep your heart tender and revived before God. Now, here's something else you need to realize, and that is that revival involves both a point and a process. Let me explain that. Both the point and the process are essential. The point of revival that perhaps you have come to over the past several weeks, you would say, God has revived my heart through this Seeking Him series. The point of revival must be followed by an ongoing lifetime process of revival. It's not enough just to have the point. That's a starting place. You can't get into the process if you don't have a starting place, but the point of revival has to be followed by an ongoing process of revival. And that applies in lots of different areas. For example, points of repentance that we come to, points of confession, points of seeking God's forgiveness, they're important, but they have to be followed by an ongoing, lifelong process of repenting. Clearing our conscience, forgiving others, etc. Rebuilding and renewing our minds, that's a lifetime process. Not enough just to come to the point. And I think this is where a lot of Christians miss it. They have some great emotional experience, or they go through some course, or hear some great message or something, and their hearts are really touched, and they respond, and they obey initially, and they think, there, now my marriage should be great. Now my family should be great. Now my life should be in great shape. They don't realize that they need an ongoing, continuing process of renewing their minds and rebuilding their lives around the Word of God. We talked about putting off and putting on, putting off the things that are of the flesh. But that point of putting off has to be followed by an ongoing process of putting on the character of Christ and the graces that we read about in the Scripture. Now, here's the danger. If you forget about the process, you just experience a point of revival, a point of repentance, a point of obedience, but you don't continue in the process, here's what'll happen. Having once tasted of and experienced the reviving hand of God in your life, if you don't continue in the process, there is a danger that you will go back not only to the way you were before, but to a place that is worse than the way you were before. Let me illustrate that in the Scripture. Luke chapter 11, you remember this passage where Jesus said, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. The evil spirit was cast out, now the house is clean, but it's empty. Nothing has been put in its place. So the evil spirit goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first. You see, if you don't put into your life the graces of the Spirit-filled life in the place of the things you've removed from your life, then it's possible those things you've removed will come back even worse than they were before. So not enough to just put off bitterness. You need to put on forgiveness. Not enough to put off the sin, you need to put on the righteousness. Not enough to put off the flesh, you need to put on the Spirit of Christ as part of not just the point of revival, but also the process. And then remember this, coals stay hot if they stay close together, but they grow cold if they are isolated. When you have those last coals left in your fire, if you keep those coals together, if you want to keep them burning, you push them together. But if you let one of those hot coals get off by itself, pretty soon the fire will go out. That's the way it is in the body of Christ when it comes to revival. That's why you need to stay close to other people who are serious about seeking God. You need to have among your friends those who are pursuing God with all their heart. Why? Because you need the encouragement. You need the accountability. You need the prayer. You need people in your face saying, why are you whining? Are you bitter? How's your time with God been? Are you walking in the Spirit? How can I pray for you? What's God doing in your heart? We need to be asking each other those questions, keeping our hearts close to each other as we seek to stay close to the Lord. And then finally, not only do you need to stay close to others who have a heart for revival and a hot heart for God, but you also need to get involved in the lives of people who aren't there yet. I want to challenge you to ask God to make you an instrument of revival in the lives of others in the days ahead. You've been experiencing something of the fresh work of God's reviving grace in your life. But God wants to use you now as an instrument of revival in others' lives. I can't tell you how often we get letters from listeners or emails saying, I'm the only person in my family who is seeking after God. My husband isn't following Christ. My children aren't following Christ. Or people who sometimes feel that they're one of a very small remnant in their local church who are seeking hard after God. Let me caution you against becoming critical toward those who are not yet seeking God in the way that you are. Because as soon as you become critical of them, you've ceased to walk in humility, and now you're the person who needs revival. Ask God to give you a compassionate heart, a grieving heart, a burdened heart for those in your family, those in your church, those in your community who are not pursuing the Lord. And get on your knees. Intercede. Cry out to God on behalf of those that you love who are not seeking the Lord. And as you do, find one or two like-hearted believers and begin to pray with them for revival. Pray for revival in your families, in your marriages, among your children. Pray for revival in your church. Do it in a way that is not critical of your church or of your pastor. Don't have those prayer times to say, Lord, if our pastor would just preach more anointed messages, our church could have revival. No, pray in a spirit of humility. Lift up the hands of your pastor. Pray that he'll be a man of God. Pray he'll be filled with the Spirit of God. Pray that God will send revival to your church. Pray that God will send revival to your home, to your community, and in our world. Let your life be what creates hunger and thirst for God in the hearts of people around you. And share with people out of your life message. Here's what God has been doing in my life. Be honest and open and sharing with each other. Here's how God has set me free from bitterness toward my ex-mate. Here's how I was able to go back to that man and confess my wrongdoing in this marriage. It wasn't just my husband. I know it looked like he was the only one who was at fault because he's the one who had the affair. But what nobody else knew was that I had been a critical, nagging, negative wife, and I drove him away. Nobody knew that, but I've been back to my husband now, and I've sought his forgiveness, and we're in the process of seeking reconciliation. I don't know what your story is. Whatever it is, share it with others. Share not only where you've succeeded, but share how you've blown it and how you've repented and how God has given you his restoring grace. It's the power of a life message that creates hunger and thirst. And Lord, I do want to thank you for the hearts that have been revived through the course of this series, starting with my own, Lord, as you've met with me there in my study and in the course of my life, you've challenged me on these basic life-changing principles. So thank you, Lord, for hearts that you have revived as we have been seeking you. And now, Lord, we want to join our hearts together and pray, oh God, would you pour out your Spirit in our land in this day, in a greater way than perhaps we've ever witnessed before in the history of the world. Would you come and revive the hearts of your people? Oh Lord, we so desperately need you. The world needs to see that you are God. The world needs to see the reality of who you are in the lives of your people. So Lord, may the mercy drops that we've experienced during these weeks soon become showers of blessing as you rain down and pour out the power of your Spirit in this world. And Lord, would you be merciful enough to use us in some small way to be a part of that revival. And Lord, may we be blessed to see that revival with our own eyes before we see you in heaven. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So good. If the Lord has given you a responsive heart that delights in His Word, tell others about that delight. Your spiritual appetite just might be contagious. Now, maybe you're the one feeling hungry for a closer walk with the Lord today. Well, let me tell you, it takes time and attention to cultivate a heart that's responsive to Him. But with God's help, you can make the Word a priority and find so much peace in His presence. As our thanks for your gift of any amount this month, we'd like to send you one of Nancy's books, A Place of Quiet Rest. This is the 25th anniversary edition. It's a resource designed to help you find intimacy with God through a daily devotional life. Request your copy when you give at reviveourhearts.com. You can also donate by calling us at 1-800-569-5959. Don't forget, our Quiet Rest Challenge kicks off on Monday. When you sign up at reviveourhearts.com/challenges, you'll receive 30 days of emails encouraging you to read and respond to God's Word. And you'll get to do that alongside women from all over the world. I hope you'll join us. Does cultivating a devotional life feel a little daunting at times? Damaris Carbaugh wants you to know you have a helper. We'll talk more about that tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.